Hello, everyone. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. In this podcast, you'll experience the unique Habits into Health perspective that brings the body to the foreground in the path to change. You'll get a chance to practice approaches that encourage you to draw on your bodily experience to help shape your changes. I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. You'll also hear information from other sources, because my goal is to give you more choices in changing behaviors that create problems for yourself or others. Okay, for this episode, we're going to continue talking about HALT, and that's the acronym that reminds us not to get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. When you're dealing with your own inner struggles in the midst of life's challenges, slipping back into old habits is only one moment away. And recognizing the signals can help you prevent relapse, however that's defined for you. Today, we'll begin to talk about the anger in HALT. First up, though, we have an experiential exercise so that you can collect yourself. Your sensory experience of yourself is the source for recognizing everything that you know. And that includes the ability to sense the signals that old habits could be sneaking their way back in. In the world today, so many of us move so fast that it keeps us from being attentive. So let's take a few moments to slow down. What is it that you would do right now to slow down? It might be very concrete. If you're driving or walking, you know the experience of slowing down your speed. But how do you use yourself to make that happen? To slow down your speed as a driver, be attentive to how you use yourself to drive. There's something you do with your foot to increase or maintain or even to decrease the speed of the vehicle, right? So as you make slowing down happen, what do you do with the foot that's on the gas or the foot that's on the brake? How do you use your ankle and the rest of your leg up into your hip, at the very least? Be attentive to how you're using yourself. Now, the same is true if you're walking right now. What do you do differently to slow down the pace of your walking? Not just in your lower self, but in your arms and your back. What changes in your head and your neck that participates in this slowing down? What if you're sitting or lying down right now? You might say, well, I'm already relatively stationary. Yet when you hear the invitation to slow down, do you recognize something in you that responds? So where is it in you that you adjust something? What is it that you're doing there? And how do you do it? Take a moment to just be with yourself and notice. So for instance, if you recognize that you've shifted the pace of your breathing, where actually do you make this shift? Do you feel a change in the part of you that is your diaphragm, between your chest and your belly? Or is there something you do in your back, around your eyes, or in your mouth? What is your experience of this change in activity? You might not have any words, which is just fine. Words emerge out of experience, so just attuning to yourself may or may not be accompanied by what you call thought, that sub-vocalization that we all recognize as self-talk. So tapping into your physical experience includes the activity of neural structures in your brain. These structures are cellular. They're physical. You communicate cell to cell in the muscles of your arms or your legs or in your chest. And when you're attuning to this sensory communication, you will experience something different than when you focus on the cell to cell communication that you call mental. And yet this communication coexists. There is no separation. Like one of my teachers used to say, thoughts have feelings, and feelings have actions, and actions have thoughts. Thoughts have actions, actions have feelings, and feelings have thoughts. You can be in yourself and in the world at the same time. If this approach to self-knowing engages you, you can listen to other episodes by going to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu. Or you can search Habits Into Health on iTunes. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this show. You can also find Habits Into Health on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And on Twitter, you can find us by searching for Habits In. Today, we're continuing to talk about HALT, which is a reminder to be attentive to whether you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Because these states, well, they make us vulnerable to slipping back into the very habits that we want to say goodbye to. So in this episode, we're going to dip into the anger in HALT. Have you ever been so angry that you lost control of yourself? Even striking out at someone or something? Just this past week, we've had a very public example of that. I'm recording this in early June of 2012. And it's all over the news, all over the internet. An Illinois state representative became so irate about his political opponents that he tossed the pages of a piece of legislation up into the air and threw a punch at them. Have you ever been so angry that you did something like this? Or have you ever been so angry that you shut down and withdrew or gave somebody the silent treatment? Maybe you've been on the receiving end as well, experiencing somebody else acting out in anger towards you. And then maybe even having angry feelings about this yourself. Sound familiar? Okay, so here are some basic points to keep in mind about anger. If you notice it creeping into your life, either when you're within yourself or from another or both, you can recognize that it makes you more vulnerable to slipping from your desire for habit change or maintaining your recovery from an addiction or just keeping your commitment to personal growth in general. Here are the bullet points. One, appreciate and attend to small changes. 2. Own your feelings in yourself. 3. Identify these feeling states on a continuum. And 4. Acknowledge the difference between having feelings and acting on them. First, I put down appreciate and attend to small changes. And I say this because it's just a kind and caring way to treat yourself whenever you're attempting to make changes in yourself and your life. Let's face it, change is hard. This is not an easy road. You have taken on a hero's journey. And if you only give yourself credit for the big fireworks, well, you're going to miss the satisfaction of all of those adjustments that you're making along the way that lead to the big fireworks. Next, own your feelings in yourself. So listen to the difference between these two statements. I feel upset. I feel judged. I'll say them again. And just be attentive in yourself. I feel upset. I feel judged. The first statement reflects a feeling. Feeling upset belongs to me, and while you might not believe that I feel upset, this feeling is mine. You can't take it away from me. When I say I feel judged, however, I'm implying something on your part that may not fit for you. I'm interpreting or describing my reactions to your behavior rather than communicating my own interior felt sense. Now, this is a really common way that we communicate. And it's not just semantics, because when feelings are involved, pain and misunderstanding happen when we imply that someone else is at fault for our own experience. And this is also a great way to give another person power over you. If you say, I feel judged, and someone else doesn't want to hear it or disagrees, she could argue back. She could say, I'm not judging you. What are you talking about? No matter what she's done or said, when you point the finger, it creates problems in the relationship. If the other person is able to understand your intentions, well, she might let it slide. But if there's any dissension between you, it's only going to make things worse. Especially when it comes to anger, it's really important to own our feelings in ourselves. And that's what I practice myself, and I encourage you to practice using the word feeling to describe your own interior felt sense. And here's a good rule of thumb to follow. When you say, I feel like, I feel that, I feel you, or I feel he or she, then the words that follow are probably not a feeling. They're more likely to be an interpretation or a judgment of the other person or a reaction to their behavior that describes some kind of blame. So you might listen for this week, because it's a really common language thing that we do, particularly in English. We say, I feel, but what follows isn't a feeling. Third bullet point is identify your angry feeling states on a continuum. If you've listened to Habits Into Health before, you know that I invite everyone to tap into four basic feelings just for starters: mad, bad, sad, and glad. Today, obviously, we're touching into mad. And we use a lot of words to describe different levels of anger, different levels of mad. Here's a few. But, you know, it's more important for you to identify yours than to go with mine. I've just picked out a few in a range. Bothered, annoyed, frustrated, irritated, resentful, indignant, infuriated, enraged. This is such a big subject that I encourage you to give yourself some homework, to invest some time this week to map out any feelings that come up most often for you. And then I'll explore this more next time. You can come back for that episode next week by going to habitsintohealth.com. I post the podcast on Monday mornings early, Pacific time. So you're listening to Habits Into Health. Here we are, and this is Michael Ann Conley, and we are exploring holistic and body-oriented approaches to habit change, addiction recovery, and personal growth. Let's talk about the fourth bullet point that is especially true about anger. Acknowledge the difference between having feelings and acting out on them. As a therapist, I notice a lot of clients who either blame themselves for feeling angry, or they judge others for expressing feelings of anger, and often both. But none of us is perfect, and almost everyone has at one time or another felt something on the continuum from bothered to enraged. I certainly know I have. When I was younger, I was bothered more easily than I am now. And one time I became so enraged that I am thankful today that I didn't have access to a gun or even know how to use one if I had. Anger is usually packaged up with a bunch of other baggage, including how you learn to manage or not manage anger from observing others as you grew up. Your memories of how people treated you from long ago to just yesterday. The consequences that you personally experienced from these feelings, and the consequences from any of your behavior based on those feelings. Feelings of anger can be accompanied by other feelings, especially, say, depression or disempowerment. What we tend to confuse, though, are angry feelings from angry behavior, and this is key. There's a difference between feeling something and acting out because of it. You may feel unhappy about your anger, but I can pretty much tell that you will feel even worse if you act it out. So, like for instance, whenever we feel embarrassed or guilty, it's much more likely that it's based in something we've done, not in something we thought or felt or even said. Think about a time when you felt angry. And when you consider this, what do you feel right now, and where do you feel it? From the Habits Into Health perspective, you can learn to let your experience of your physical self lead the way. You have muscle memory. We all have muscle memory that has a history. And you can learn to modify these tissue states, letting this inform the stories you tell yourself about who you are. Rather than spinning fantasies in your mind, because those are just an attempt to balance the unhappy past with the desired future, attuning to your physical sense of yourself is the beginning of being present. To halt when you recognize these signals is a great way to bring yourself into the present and to put into action other strategies before you lose your momentum in creating your change of habit. So I'm going to sign off for now. We've only touched base with a little bit of the anchor and hold, first by just identifying the factors. Tune in next week and we'll continue to explore this more. If you can take a break by halting when things get tense, this can help you sustain new behaviors and grow yourself into your best future. That's our goal in Habits Into Health, where we're focusing on giving you more choices and making the changes you want to make, regardless of the habit you're dealing with. You can bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.